On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
Welcome to Tall Can Sports. Rob and Matt, if you can believe it, this is the 20th Tall Can Sports already.
I am flabbergasted.
Yep, they have flown by. Now, we've wrapped them up or pushed them out the door, I guess, a little quicker here in the last couple of weeks as we got a little giddy with hockey anticipation. But 20 episodes, man. Can't believe it.
Awesome. Now, you know what? Giddy, you want to talk about giddy?
A little bit.
All right. So, this tonight is Ottawa Fury.
No one's giddy.
New York Cosmos. Okay. NASL soccer at its finest.
Tonight is Tuesday the 22nd also for, regardless of, you know, people be hearing this at different times.
Okay. So,
in case they want to run back and check their
they're hyping this. They're going on about this. You know, this is the spring champion versus the current summer fall champion. Whatever the hell that means.
This your crazy soccer talk.
Soccer. This is you suck. A, who understands multiple seasons within one season? I don't get that. Right?
Do you remember they did that during one of the baseball seasons in the 80s, I think, that first strike.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a rant here. You can't cut me short with any logic.
I'm trying to stop people from leaving with your soccer talk.
Okay, no. People, I promise you it'll be short. So they're hyping this as a future potential championship match, right? And I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I can get behind that. For the Soccer Bowl.
Yeah,
that's what the trophy's called.
I heard
that.
The
Soccer Bowl.
Today was the first time I'd heard that. That's fucking terrible.
Nobody, no self-respecting sport could take themselves seriously. What are you vying for? Well, we hope to be the Soccer Bowl champions. There's no fucking Tim Hortons teams playing for that. Honestly, the hockey trophy. God.
It's pretty bad, man.
You suck, NASL.
You got a new name for their trophy? Anything you'd like to suggest? Or?
Yeah, whatever, you know, look at,
so
I think Pele was a New York Cosmo back in the late 70s.
All right, Pele Cup would be something.
Yeah.
At least I would recognize it. Oh, that's soccer. I
mean, well, I guess
the Soccer Bowl
exactly.
Gives you that too. But
Soccer Bowl. you know what though? If you think about it, and maybe they're onto something, because if you look at it and you go, you know, American football, with all the history and the tradition that goes into it, and you look at college football.
Like 50 years.
But I'm talking about in terms of football itself, right?
Yeah.
It dates back 100 years or
yeah,
more, right? And you have
not as long as
Rose Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, you know,
yep.
The bowl season, late December, casting into the new year, right? And so when the NFL rolls around and we're going to do the NFC and the AFC champions, and we're going to put them together and we're going to call it the
ultimate bowl?
The great bowl? The fantastic bowl?
Tremendous bowl.
Ultra bowl? No, Super Bowl. You guys have no imagination either, but that's come to be quite accepted now. Super Bowl.
Well, then just give it some time. Maybe the soccer bowl will be.
What is what I'm saying? And you know what? Somebody likely in the early 60s said, that sucks. Who thinks a Super Bowl is a great idea? Probably the same guy who thinks the Tostitos Travelers
Holy
Championship
fuck.
Bowl.
Don't even get me started on that bullshit.
You know, the Big Brothers, Little Sisters... Jamboree Bowl, whatever these things
NASCAR's
are.
NASCAR's gotten just as bad with their naming of races after kinds of
and NASCAR sucks. NASCAR sucks too. Sorry about that.
Okay. Well.
So you know what? Okay, now I
so
think
we're formulating a list of things you won't be hearing about on this show.
Well, you know what? And honestly,
or at least not in a positive light.
Right. You know what? I'd like to talk about the World Cup of Rugby. How about that?
No.
Okay. It doesn't suck. How about that?
You've had your European sports moment.
Okay. Anyways.
Well, sort of. I don't think you've had the chance to hear this yet. And we're going to get into the Jays here in a second because they've been a little neglected on this show over the last couple of weeks anyway. Just, like I said, with hockey anticipation. But one quick thing today. I don't know if...
Just for the record, you're dampening my enthusiasm here.
Okay. Well...
I'm stretching my legs out here.
Well, don't worry. You can take this and run with it.
I'm getting loose.
Because this is decent. John Tortorella, he formerly of the NHL.
Oh, yes.
Has been, I know the official announcement today was today. I don't know when word leaked, but he's going to coach.
Yesterday.
Yeah, Team USA at the upcoming World Cup of Hockey. You should check out Tall Can Sports 18 for a lot of talk about that. TallCanAudio.com and all your other social media places. The announcement was made today. It was made via a... now, I think it's interesting to note that this was made via a media conference call.
Or
if they were... Yeah, sure. Take your pick. Fuck you, man. If they were naming the Canadian head coach today, this would have been, you know, televised and a live press conference, and they'd have... God, Kevin Lowe and all kinds of retards out there.
And we don't need Kevin Lowe.
No, well, you're probably getting them, though. I think everyone, till he dies, Kevin Lowe is going to be part of this Hockey Canada brand.
Isn't there a dairy farm somewhere in Quebec that you should be running? Because really, you're doing a horrible job with your hockey team. Move along, Kevin. Move along.
Is there a story there? Is that...
That's where he comes from. Okay. Yeah, he's a dairy farmer.
Actually, I had no idea he was even a Quebecer. So.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Ice cube, baby.
So... Today, there were some people that got through on this conference call before the legit media to have a little bit of fun with Tortorella. And I didn't want to spoil it, but I wanted you to know that much. And I want you to listen. What kind of gives it away, and maybe should have given it away ahead of time, is the name of these publications that you have to say you represent, right? And as you can see, they start to wise up and recognize that these aren't real. Cut these guys out. So we're going to play this from my phone into the microphone. It's not too bad quality, so we'll check this out.
First question comes from Gil Johnson with Slapshot.org.
Hi.
.org.
Go ahead, Gil. I heard you say earlier about the whole family tree thing. That was funny. Real quick, your mama's so bald, even a wig wouldn't help. Did you hear that one? Pardon me? Jennifer, let's go to the next question. Hey, f*** you! Jennifer.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Blake Thomas with the Mankato Free Press.
Hello? Yeah, go ahead, Blake. Hello. Oh, okay, sir. I didn't hear anybody pick up. I just wanted to ask Coach what his favorite Dolphin movie was.
I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
Let's go to the next one. Jennifer? Okay. Jennifer? What's your Jennifer?
Yes, Jennifer. Sir. Our next question comes from Mike Wilson with the New American Gazette.
Hi, Coach.
Hello.
Yeah, when it comes to high sticking, which player on the team do you think wears the biggest jock strap?
Jennifer.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tim Simmons with the Hockey Gazette.
Jennifer, let's go to the next one, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello. Jennifer, next one?
Yes. The next question comes from Stephen Weiner with Canadian Press.
Yeah, we got somebody legitimate in there.
So that's
and Stephen Weiner. Honestly, that's the first legit guy.
I kind of dislike him for getting on and breaking up that stream.
Well, for sure. And you know what? As you say, How small time is that?
I liked slapshot.org. It wasn't even .com.
who wears the biggest jockstrap?
And so they get through three prank calls, and then it's so-and-so, a name they clearly didn't recognize from the Hockey Gazette. Jennifer, no, just next guy.
And so, no, and I didn't hear that. Now, I had heard that he... Now, did Torts get on track there later? Did he...
Yeah, there was obviously at that point some legit people got in and they asked their questions or whatever. And I heard Torts later on TSN radio at a Toronto talking. And he was kind of having a laugh about it at that point. Just, he said, I don't understand how these people got through or whatever, right? But, he didn't lose his mind like he's typically wanted to do, right?
Which is actually what I was thinking was going to happen was... Somebody was
at your introductory press conference to say that you've changed, you lose your shit.
And and the first three guys on?
Yeah.
What's your favorite dolphin movie, coach?
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Next caller, Jennifer.
And you know what? I can't imagine that you'd have to have a live presser, yeah, right? Where you'd have somebody have to stand up and you'd have to have recognized credentials.
Yeah.
And,
just to get into the building. I don't know how they verified.
Like, was Jennifer screening those calls? What's a slapshot.org? Yeah. Clearly, that's got to be legit. It sounds hockey-like. Well, who is doing it? Come on, honestly. .org.
They don't want to make a profit. They just want to get the information out.
Right. And you know what? Yeah. Hockey USA. Come on.
Terrible.
That is terrible.
That's terrible.
And you know what? Yeah. So, but just
great
just
stuff,
before
man.
We flip on, though, yeah. What's your take on Tortorella being?
I guess.
I think Laviolette's still out there as an option, too.
Well, they have a lot of guys that are in the NHL coaching, right? Like Laviolette's coaching in Nashville. But they've done this before, as has, remember Pat Quinn was brought in to coach the World Juniors when he was out of the NHL. Yeah. I think they did Ron Wilson for Sochi. Was he the head coach? In Sochi, maybe, after he'd been let go by the Leafs still, or maybe not.
Sochi was Bilesma, wasn't it?
That's right. Yep, it was. There was some point, maybe it was World Championship. Like, they've done this before. We're gonna pay you whatever, because you're clearly not getting a job in the NHL, for a year's work, right, to get ready for this. And in principle, I don't mind that as a strategy.
Like, I like the idea. I love the idea of
the national team head coach.
No, forget that. Oh. Whoever that guy is, you know, or bringing in or parachuting in some NCAA coach. You know, what about Phil Housley, right? In terms of world.
He's not still coaching high school.
Yeah, okay. Sure he is. And Laviolette, I don't think you need to bring on if is it USA Hockey's, is it their job to rehabilitate Torts' image?
No, but my only point was I don't necessarily mind the idea of finding a good coach. Now, maybe it's not him, but a good coach who's out of work and this thing's a year away, your focus for 12 months is this. And we'll pay for you to travel around. You're going to look at everything. You'll have the final say on this and this and this. I kind of like that.
I don't think, you know what?
I don't think he's the guy I'd have gone with. But
they went through the management staff, and honestly, there's guys who are going to have, you know, I don't know if they're going to let Torts pick his... pick his team,
right?
You know what I mean?
Well, no, there's something to that, but he'll know everybody, right? And he will have a voice.
And you know what? If that team doesn't win the first game, or if shit goes off the rails early, man, he's not the guy you want in a short tournament either.
Yeah, I saw, I think it was Steve Dangle or one of these guys on Twitter who just said, if you're somebody who's happy to watch your team lose and a coach not react well to it, this is your day. And just a link to the press conference, right?
Yeah, because so. You know what? I wonder.
Maybe
you know
come storming through the hall and fight another coach at the World Cup. That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I don't like
Chatan or something.
I like Torts' chance against Miro, but I don't like his chances against Babcock.
All right, who else is going to be
Babcock leading with the chin? Go ahead there, give me a shot. Ralph Kruger. Come on, no way.
Yeah, Ralph Kruger's dummying him.
Yeah, exactly. Ain't happening. Torts is getting a bronze medal at best.
Anyway, silver medalists at the last two Olympics, but
you better hope Joel Quenneville doesn't get on anywhere.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that probably. So, you mean any former players? You're basically saying
his big stash, honestly, and he's an angry looking dude.
kind of got that gritty voice.
Yeah, like, for sure. Hey.
Kill you in a second.
Exactly. It's a Western thing he's got. Exactly. Yeah, Clint Eastwood kind of thing.
Yeah. We did say we wanted to talk a little Jays, so we'll kind of move over to that. They, as we sit here right now, are 3.5 games up on the Yankees, 2 to go. Price shut New York down last night. He, I believe, is now 8-1 since becoming a Blue Jay.
9-1, I think.
So he's done what they've, everything they've asked him to do, right? And 4 times he started against New York. He's got 3 wins there and should be 4, but the bullpen let him down. So,
man, the bullpen let me down personally. And you know what? That people are talking about Encarnacion's finger. People are talking about Tulowitzki, when he's going to come back and what's he going to be like. And he was only hitting 230 or whatever it was when he left. So to me, the single biggest thing, and it really in the last little while, it's reared its ugly head and scares the shit out of me, is the bullpen, right? Sanchez and Asuna, man, I got no idea what's going to happen there, really, in terms of...
See, I don't really have a problem with Osuna had 2 rocky outings, and he's kind of... Sanchez hasn't been good for...
Who gave up the homer last night?
Oh, I wasn't... I was down at the...
Okay, yeah, game. In the night, Osuna gave up another one last night.
Got the save.
Okay. Woo!
Did he pitch yourself into a save? Was it 4-0 when he went in?
It was 4-0.
So he didn't get the save. So you can't pitch yourself into a save situation.
In my best Adam Sandler, what do I do? It's, honestly, man, we need him to come in and
the
lock shit
fuck
down.
Is that coming from?
It's a Billy Madison thing. What do I do? Anyways, all right, man.
I'm not sure it is, but
it is absolutely. Well, okay, and the good listener will understand it.
Okay,
I don't have to.
Educate
you as I do.
I would have expected me to be more of an Adam Sandler movie guy than.
No, I think you're wrong.
Okay, and so far evidence would suggest I'm wrong.
And so, yeah, you know what? In terms of coming in, and that's now 4 homers, I think, in the month of September that he's given up. Right, 7 on the season, but 3 for the first part. Now he's given up 4 in the past 3 weeks.
So,
yikes!
But I think in the 8th inning, I'd have no problem with how he's worked moving low over there. You're stuck with Osuna at this point. I don't think you want anyone else to close. But I'm not, excuse me, for whatever reason, I'm not as concerned about him as I have been with Sanchez. Maybe you have to move him out of the 8th spot for the next week.
Can Cecil just pitch like 2 or 3 innings every night?
Well,
because man alive.
And I wouldn't mind moving him into that 8th role either.
Well, because he struck out all 3 in the 8th yesterday.
Right. And, you know, it's hard to get too uptight about Sanchez. Every time it's gone wrong, it's been when Gibby's tried to run him out for a second inning. And it hasn't worked. He's clearly, right now, a one-inning guy. And whether it's going and sitting down in between and the adrenaline coming down or just running out of gas, which shouldn't be it as a guy they want to start long-term.
I like your thought process on the giving time to think. And
right. I think if you just left him doing what he's doing, he'll probably be okay. He's made it pretty clear you can't run him out for 2, right? Cecil, the argument you'd make is, you know, what if you got a couple righties coming up? His splits this year are pretty much even. He's not having any trouble with getting righties out. So I'm not too worried about... I'm far less worried about the pen right now than I was a month and a half ago.
Oh, sure. And you know what? Talk to me a week ago, and I was right there with you saying, right, you know, with Hawkins and Lowe, and you go, yeah, okay, Cecil, Sanchez, Osuna, that was starting to look like... And look what Hendricks has done.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Right? In terms of... So
I'm just not ready to... If we're still getting hit around like that in a week and there's been nothing changed, then maybe I'll feel differently about it. But right now, I don't...
So I was out and about, and I didn't see the game last night. I didn't see the conclusion to it, right? But I'm looking at it, and Price is just cruising.
Yeah.
2 hits through 7.
Yep.
And so I'm checking it out on the app on the phone, and I'm looking at it going, okay... We're moving into the top of the 8th, and it says, now next up pitching for the Jays, Price. And I'm like, yes, guy. Oh, wait, no. Price is out. I'm like, man, 2 hits through 7?
Let him cruise.
Right. Yeah. You know, and he had, I think he had 9 strikeouts, but he only had 2 walks.
See, it's funny. I think for the most part, A, they're so nervous, and they should be, about having him get hurt before the playoffs. I don't know what his pitch count was at, but...
Yeah, no, that's what I was alluding to. I wasn't aware
either.
If
I think
was...
at 4-0, against most teams, I probably would take him out. But the Yankees can turn something around so fast on you, right? Even this with Teixeira out and what, it doesn't take long before there's two on with one out or no one out, you know, and you're bringing whoever to the plate, right? Like it's
Beltran, Rodriguez.
Right.
Yeah.
Guys that can still make, and we've just seen it in the last week or two, where, you know, down in Tampa, it looked like they were down at one point and they came back and won against the Mets. They were, you know, grinding it out. So, you know, it's tough to.
Yeah, I needed more from the Mets. I needed the Mets seriously. To go 2-3.
I needed Matt Harvey to not fucking decide he was done on Sunday night, right? Just leave. Whatever's
just,
going on.
Just leave.
Whatever he's doing there, he's decided his own pitch count limit, and I'm out of here. So, anyway, it's, you know, I think for me the bigger concern really is the health of the lineup, because everybody's kind of been saying this, you know, the way Goins is hitting and the way, you know, Pennington and he are playing in the field, you're not really missing Tulowitzki. But I think the point becomes, at some point, Tulowitzki's going to start hitting again.
Right.
And wouldn't you, at that point, want to have him and Goins in the lineup? Not just, you know, we've replaced Tulowitzki. Yeah, okay, but now you're one guy shorter, right? In the
no, and what Tulowitzki does, and I like the idea better when they put Revere in the leadoff. And they move Tulowitzki further down the lineup. That's just that much more insulation, right?
Right.
As you go down that lineup. And that still leaves you whatever you got
going on. Do I want to walk Encarnacion and risk that tonight's the night that Tulo turns it around?
Well, okay. And then, and then you have either Martin or Smoke in behind there. You know,
even Colabello's been mashing pretty good.
Well, and Colabello, clearly, as we said, a 300 hitter.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, I think I agree with you, but. Wow, and it just looks over the weekend.
So, just sorry to let me. My point there was we saw for a game down in Atlanta after that New York series, they let Encarnacion rest and they had no Tulowitzki. And so, you're really just looking at, in terms of your big boys,
Donaldson and Bautista.
And they went like 1-for-19 that game, or in those two games, I guess, first two games down in Atlanta combined. And you start to go
1-for-9?
No, two games times two guys.
Yeah, okay.
So, whatever. That's pretty close to right. Yeah.
No, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking. Oh.
So, it's why would anybody pitch to you when coming up behind now, it's a much less. Like, if Encarnacion's finger is not good and Tulo's not coming back, it's not nearly the same lineup, right? Like, there's nothing there to be afraid of, really. I'll just pitch around those two all the night and whatever. So, I think I would have let the chips fall where they may and rested Edwin for the whole series in Atlanta. They got a little jittery after one loss, brought him back, and taped it up again.
Because that first loss, it was lethargic.
Yeah.
Man, it didn't
look... They looked lethargic all the whole series down there, eh? Like, it didn't look...
Well, they just muscled out the second and third games, right?
And with a big homestand coming up, it probably was. But as much as, I don't know, you know... Not everybody believes in these things, but a trap game or a trap series, right? Is that piece of shit team on the road?
Well, you and I looked a couple weeks ago. We looked at the Yankees went down there and just beat the shit out of the Braves. Scored 20 runs or 22 runs in one game.
Yeah,
right. We're like, when are we going to get some of that sweet ass action? Oh wait, we lost to a bunch of guys who played Triple A ball this year.
Yeah, so it's. You know, we're coming down. There's only a week and a half left in the season, right? You're into it now.
Yeah, and you know what? What's most interesting, and obviously, you know, if you asked 2 months ago, well, Christ, you and I were at a game in April.
Yeah.
Right? If you could flash forward to late September now, where you're talking 3.5 games up in the East, and you're going, no, I would have had no idea.
No, of course.
And I think you and I going back again in August, and just, you know what? We were able to get walk-up tickets that day. They were right in the middle of that 12 or 13 game winning streak, and it was rocking.
Was game four against the Twins, right?
Right, that was a sweep game against the Twins,
The sweep against the Twins,
And
that put them, for the first time, into that second wild card.
Right,
yeah.
Or clear.
Maybe they were tied the night before.
Honestly, they went into that series a game back of the Twins in the wild card for the second wild card.
Right.
And they came out of the series 3 up on them. Like, essentially putting the Twins behind them for good.
Yeah.
But the difference, we were able to get walk-up tickets.
They've climbed back in, eh?
Yeah.
Anyway, walk-up tickets.
And they sucked for, there was that. They then went on. Yeah. They were three or four more games after that before they won again, right?
Yeah. Looks like no one wants that second wild card.
Right. And so, and I think, and worst, is Texas still?
Texas went in and either beat or swept Houston.
Swept.
And is now leading the.
In one of them, they beat them, they put 18, yeah. an 18 spot
just
on them.
Smash.
Right? Yeah. Honestly. And so, where was I going with this? Just the difference in the crowd, right? Yep. So we were able to get walk-up tickets that night, but they approached $40,000, I think, right? Whereas I think they were lucky to get 20 the first night we were there.
Oh man, yeah, it was
so right. And it's like I said,
Thursday night against Tampa, in April.
It was terrible, right? And then the buzz in the crowd was entirely different the second night, and now they're saying, now I went to a lot of games in the early '90s, right? In the heyday, the dome has only been open 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
the team is good, but. Toronto had that real, when you heard it on the TV or the radio, it sounded like 40,000 little girls screaming. I don't know why the dome always sounded like that, but it was kind of a corporate,
so
a really yeah. corporate environment, for sure. right? Yeah. And there in the last week, you've been hearing a lot of talk about what a great environment it is now and how it is.
Well, the corporations all left.
Right.
Like all yeah. those guys no, that were no. paying all that money. Now it's fans in there.
Right? Now real fans. And that's what they're saying. They have people chanting and there's stomping and shouting. And so to me, that is probably the best thing. And I don't blame Jays fans. You know what I mean? I don't look in Toronto and go, Toronto's, they're bad sports fans. I don't, you know, I hate the Argos and I hate the Leafs and I'm indifferent about the Raptors or whatever.
I can't believe you're not indifferent to the Argos.
Or whatever goes on in, I don't know, in the ACC when the Leafs aren't there. I don't know, something else goes on.
Toronto Rock, man. It's a good show.
I love the Rock. Yeah, absolutely. yeah, but man, 25 years or 23 years between postseason appearances and year after year of just grinding mediocrity.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, you know what, the average sports fan, the average ball fan just wants to have, just show me a little thigh, come on, just a little something, at least a little teaser, at least like, oh, I know, I've seen this before, one glass of red wine, eh, honestly, give me a break.
No, it's a totally different vibe, and it carries through on TV, and when we were there, you could see it ramping up, and it, even then, wasn't what it is now, right, like it's
hey, and drop the beer prices too. How about that?
Okay.
Come on, $11 a can of beer seems excessive.
Did it stop you from?
No, it did not. No, it did not stop.
That's why they're never going down.
Okay, yeah.
Because you and I still sit there and put away however many.
We can.
Yeah. Come back before last call, bud.
That's exactly right. It's exactly. There's a five spot in it for you. Hey, yeah. Okay.
Beer, dude. Can I text you? Like, can I hear?
Yeah.
We're empty over here.
I love that idea. I was actually thinking there needs to be some kind of...
Like when you go to those restaurants and they give you the little thing to walk away and they press a button to tell you, you know, that your table's ready. You should have something to start putting up a little homing beacon or something.
Well, and you know what? And you know what? It's funny because anybody who's, you know, who has kids and or was a kid themselves, I don't know any of those people. But you know, you go to Disneyland or you go to any of these places, and when kids see like there's Mickey Mouse, you know, and they get that old there's Mickey, and the kids and they can't help themselves, right? They get giddy, right? And they're pointing, and they're a ball game is a lot like that, right?
Absolutely.
You can see guys going, it is beer guy,
yeah,
beer guy.
There's like a whole like movement of people digging in their pockets.
What is this? It's exactly right. That's the adult version of seeing Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, you're looking down in front of you. Everybody's got their right shoulder up as they're trying to dig down into their pocket.
It's Mickey.
And now they're all leaning forward a little, just rubbing the bill.
Come on. And you just want to catch his attention. You just want to catch his attention.
Yeah.
Hey, hey.
That guy doesn't need one.
Don't tell me there's just light beer left. Don't tell me there's light beer left.
No, I think, didn't we find it was not Corona. It's the other. Heineken was all they had left at one point. Was it not that? Yeah.
What's wrong with a couple Heineys?
Yeah.
Come on, man. I'll take
we took them.
Yeah. I'll take a Heineken over a lot of these places now are going, we have premium beer, Stella. Get out of here with your Belgian swill. Honest to God.
Touched a nerve.
Yeah. I should never be able to read a newspaper through my beer. Ever. Beer guy.
Yeah.
The adult Mickey. I love that.
The adult Mickey.
Beer guy.
Love it, man.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
There's money to be made here.
For sure.
Start putting Mickey Mouse ears on them as they're walking around.
Yeah.
Or at least the little, I really think you should be able to send up the little homing beacon to send them back to you, right?
Like you do at the restaurants?
Well, he's over there like...
When I'm ready, yeah. I'm going to punch this little button and it's going to beep in your pocket. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how you, color code it.
But don't get over there in that section. Those guys don't need one. Here, man.
Look at those guys.
Seriously.
Take a look at yourself, man.
It looks at this point anyway, 3.5 up. Series isn't over, but... I don't know. The Yanks are going to have
to. And at what point? And again, we briefly touched on this in a casual conversation. They're throwing around crap like the magic number to clinch is 10.
Yeah.
I scoff at your stupid double digit number, and I'm a Jays fan. Don't give me that crap. There's only 14 or 13 games left in the season. Don't tell me the magic number is 10.
That doesn't mean they need 10 wins.
I know that. Any combination of Jays wins and Yankees.
I can't believe how indignant you are.
Oh, because it's stupid. Honestly, we're going to be down to three games left. And the magic number is 2. Okay, get out of here.
All right.
I don't need it. I don't buy it. It's bullshit. How about just keep winning, right? And I guess more importantly, I think the Jays take... They split the next 2.
Yep.
Right. I think you said
3.5 up.
Yankees. And you know there's been all that talk about we have 13 games left with them.
That's gone pretty well.
And honestly, I think they're 6-1 in the last 7 or whatever it is. I'm trying to.
Well, in 2.
They swept them in the Yankee Stadium. They took 3. They took 3 out of 4.
Yeah. They took 2 of 3 up here right after that.
Okay, that's what I'm missing.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right after that. Remember, we had to win on the Sunday.
I was missing that. Yeah. So you're looking at 6-1, 7-3. They're now 8-3, right? In that stretch with 2 more to go.
Yeah.
Man, you split these and go 9-4 in that 13 game.
Sweet.
You've essentially, that's what did it, right?
Yep.
You've now taken the Yankees and went, you want to know where your season went? Wham, that little section of time right there.
Yep. So... They're in a good spot. I think if they get out of this, especially if they were to somehow, it's not like it's unthinkable, but sweep this series, be 5.5 up, you're done even, you're starting now.
The magic number would be 6, and I can get behind that kind of talk. Let's do that.
You would be going into setting up your rotation for the next week, right? Do you bring Hutch in to make a start at home because you're starting to jumble and everybody needs that extra day to... You know, I don't think they want the rotation to go the way it is now. They got to get Burley's spot kind of out.
They got
to
get Burley gone. Yeah.
We've talked about this a little bit before, but how do you want to set it up? You know, obviously Price is going to go 1. Would you maybe, I think you and I differed on this, I'd probably go Dickey 2, especially if you have home field, because I want him at the dome, not outside in the weather somewhere.
Right, because that's what they say, right?
And then
somebody alluded to the whole idea that Tim Wakefield used to get rocked every October because...
Yeah. Wet and it's cool
weather,
yeah.
and the knuckleball doesn't.
You know, then I can run Stroman out there the day after the knuckle.
But Phil Niekro's a Hall of Famer.
Exhibit A. Yeah, you know what? It's and then I think I'm probably Estrada's my 4th guy.
Tom Cagliotti, he threw a little knuckle, did he not?
I believe
Tom Cagliotti had a little knuckle action as well.
All right.
Okay. Sorry.
For me.
You know what? I am interested in that. And you know what?
Price, Dickey, Stroman, Estrada for me. And sometimes, depending on how the schedule lays out, you don't need a 4th guy. But
you're
going to have to see. Stroman's going to get to go Wednesday, which means he'll get at least 1 more start next week. So you're going to have 4 starts.
All right.
See what you like.
If you have 3 guys, is Dickey still in your top 3?
I think so. He's been lights out since the All-Star break.
It's true.
Now, Estrada's been great as well, so it's tough.
Estrada's numbers are better than Dickey's, and they're close to Price's in the second half.
And I think the only thing that is really for me to choose between those two, and again, depending on how the schedule shakes out, and if you're going to be outdoors, maybe I want Estrada and not Dickey, and so I do flip it, right? But Estrada has pitched out of the pen a lot more recently than any of those other guys, and so maybe he becomes my long man.
So you're looking at let's just say for argument's sake or conversation's sake here, you're looking at a Texas-Toronto ALCS.
Yeah, and I guess it's not going to be that cold in Texas. Or ALDS, all right. DS first.
DS.
Yeah.
So you're looking at then you're looking at maybe going Price, Estrada, or Stroman.
At that point, depending on how these next two go, if he's that lights out, because I think that the DS is only a 3 of 5, isn't it?
Yes.
It's lame. So maybe I want to move Stroman up if he is still. See, that's the other thing that you got to think about is Texas won't have seen Stroman this year. They'll have seen Estrada at least once or twice, right?
No, and I think at that point you're also looking at, you know what, I'm probably saving, because I don't think you're pushing Stroman either, right? In any of those starts, right?
Right.
You're sort of, if you can get 6 quality innings.
Yep.
Right. There's lots to talk about there. There's lots of
yeah
debatable issues, right? In terms of, because you're going to run that lineup out, and honestly, I love if they have a healthy Tulowitzki.
He started throwing again today. They said he's not close yet, but that's something.
And they said
right?
A week.
Yeah.
Initially.
No, it's 2 to 3 weeks.
But initially, they were just saying a week, right? They were saying a week to 10 days.
When he came back from that first appointment, everything I read was 2 to 3 weeks.
That's the one down in Boston?
No, the first one.
Okay. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So, it seems weird to say with only a week and a half left, because of the way Stroman's just come back in, I don't think I can say yet. But I do think you're going to start to see them, especially if they sweep here and kind of put the Yankees in the rear view. Drew's probably coming back in to start one, so you can shuffle everybody around and get them the day's rest if they need it, right?
Right, and get things set up how you want.
Yeah.
Because you can put the one-game series away.
Well, because the other thing to think about is if there's no AL tiebreaker needed.
Boo!
Well, but that is, I think the season ends on, I think the season ends Sunday. There's a day off Monday, which would be where the tiebreaker goes. Then Tuesday is the wild card game. Then Wednesday again off, and Thursday it would start. So if you're not in that, you do have time to kind of
rejig.
Yeah, you can set it up then if you have to, right?
Honestly, but man, you have a guy going late in your rotation there, even if it's pitching game 3 or 4.
You know,
of
the Yankees need to be thinking about jigging, and maybe if they win the next two, we do too. Jigging it so
somebody goes
in the wild card game, not game 1, right? Like, so you want to get clear here if you can, and know that that's not a factor for you. The Yankees are kind of stuck preparing for both.
Hey, so if the Yankees make that in, they win that wild card game, and they make it into
a DS,
you can't play a team in the same division, am I correct?
See, that's my understanding as well. When we had Nate on the last time, he says when this new wild card format came in, that had to be ousted because you could potentially have, you know.
Well, you know what? I'm going to defer to him on that.
Me too.
I'd love to see, you know what? I'd go in for a Jays-Yankees DS.
Yeah, it's gone pretty well lately.
yeah, you know what? Well, I'll take a run at those guys.
We never do well going out west for some reason. I don't know how bad I want to see Texas.
Although Texas doesn't want to see us. We just went out there and absolutely bore out their backside.
So
I can't see how the Rangers are super stoked about seeing us either.
No, I'm sure there's something to
that. Because we wore out that pitching.
Yeah.
It owed us $5.
Man, you take $5 pretty seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you're goddamn right.
All right. You got any more on that, or should we?
You know what? Look for more in the near future, because honestly, man, October baseball is rolling around.
We may hit TCS 25 by the end of next week if this keeps staying interesting.
I'm ready and available.
All right.
And if you're looking for provocative opinions, I'm your guy. provocative.
Yes. Show a little thought.
Only one glass of red wine could I not interest you in a second, honestly. Get the horns on.
I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but I wanted to circle back a little to when you scoffed at something I had said.
Okay, what on air or the many, or the many times before we got on air?
Our conversations typically off air are me saying something and you, oh, no.
Oh, seriously?
It's kind of like how Dean tweets at Tall Can Sports.
No. Whoa. All right. And I keep asking, you know what? You bring factual.
We're going to get to that, I think, on the next Audio Whiplash, because he actually, and he didn't disagree, but he sent in a pretty interesting article after we got talking about the.
Okay, an interesting article, not an opinion.
Well, no. Maybe when you send an article,
just joking, Dino.
Want to say his last name again? We had to edit it out last time with an interesting sound effect.
Dean! Woo! Yes.
Yeah, more Adam Sandler sound effects or something. So, Penguins have opened training camp. They've been starting to, you know, like as early on, the lines don't really mean much, but you can see what they want to do on the power play.
And oh, this just in.
Phil on the left side boards as a right-handed shot, and they've alternated Malkin and Crosby on the other side as left-handed shots, with Letang up high, and then Kunitz down low, and then whoever's not on the right side between Malkin, you know, Malkin or Crosby is in front or cycling around.
I don't remember scoffing at this.
You stated that that seemed like an odd spot to put Phil because he's really more of a rush guy. He doesn't want to stop and set up like that.
So this is in a previous pod you're talking about me scoffing.
Weeks ago.
Yeah, okay. And you know what? I don't know. Not having watched enough Leaf games, and so I don't mean to backpedal on something I may have said a couple weeks ago, but where are you playing Phil on the power play?
Right where they got him.
Right, okay. So that's
what I said at the time.
Is that what the Leafs traditionally have done? Because you're not getting a lot of rush stuff on the power play.
Well, the Leafs didn't have the possession a lot on the power play. Right. Yeah, when they could set it up, yeah, he would be on that side.
Because I'm not putting him on the point.
No, and he was never – they tried it a couple of times a couple of years back, and it wasn't his thing, right? Some forwards could do it, some can't.
I must have just been being obstinate.
Yeah, well, there's something to that, man.
Yeah, okay.
It's not unusual.
Yes.
To shoot you down at any time. Yeah,
to shoot over whatever you're talking about.
To me, having Phil on that side as a right-handed shot and one of those other two monsters on the other as a lefty while the other three guys are moving it around is just... And he loves to stop, maybe drop it back to the point, creep in a little closer, get it worked around, and then get it, and then take two hard strides towards the center and just hammer it, right? Like, and he was... Last year, especially, no one made hay for the Leafs in the second half. Early in the first half, man, like he just...
Yeah.
It was hard to defend against because love him or hate him, and most people hate him. Dion's got a bomb over on the other side, right on the point. And so that you'd have to respect that, too. And if they could get that pass down halfway to Phil again...
And did I tell you how dirty he looks, too, though? Did I tell you that?
Phil?
Yeah.
Thinner, but dirty.
Well, so you haven't seen him. Is he looking fit?
Yeah. He clearly got to work before having to go and keep up with those guys.
Has he washed his hair?
No, I doubt it.
Shave and wash your hair, Phil. Come on, do just something. Give me something.
So it looks like, again, it's very early in camp. But I forget Mike Johnson, their coach's name.
Yeah.
I think out of Portland, maybe. He said, we're going to try Phil with Sid first. But I think you and I, where we did agree was it was a more likely to be a fit on the rush, you know, in general play with Malkin on that rush because Phil will get down and bang in the corners and cycle, and that's not ever really going to be Crosby's thing. Kessel's thing, excuse me. So that probably, you know, they're going to try it, and maybe it works, but they've always said Sid's a hard guy to play with, and maybe just playing with Malkin on the rush, it'll be a little better fit.
So weird, man. So weird that you hear that over and over again, right?
He's hard to play with.
Yeah, just and you do. You hear it all the time, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. How difficult it is to find a match with this. Honestly,
this just in. He's pretty good, and no one else keeping up.
Well, but and it's not even keeping up. And we touched on the other night that the whole Spezza thing and that play where.
Yeah, in the playoffs down
Phil just kind of is going to do his... I mean, Sid, Phil, you've done it to me now.
No, I know.
Sid's going to do his thing, right? Yeah. And you better be ready when it comes to you or not. And it may not come to you again. And and so, yeah, in terms of... Yeah, that's such an interesting debate.
But how'd you like that on a 5-on-3? double barrels on both sides with Phil and Sid, then Letang up high.
Obviously, for all Malkin. All the talk, and you know what, and how dirty he looks, and and greasy and everything.
Greasy.
And a leaf, right? All the things I detest. But I can't help but imagine he's going to have a killer season. If
everybody's healthy.
If everybody's healthy, he
cruises past 40 for me.
Easy. Right? Yeah. Easy. I think even without being healthy, I think he's just going to have a boffo season, honestly.
Keep your eyes open, hockey pool people.
Yeah. Hockey people in the house.
Had the chance last night to go down to the Canadian Tire Center and see the Leafs and Senators there, split squad. The other halves were in Toronto at the ACC.
Hey, we had the better crowd. We had better teams here, eh? Did the Leafs send a better team here than...
That's debatable.
No, but in terms of Leaf, Kadri was here, Lupo was here, Phaneuf was here, Reimer was here, right?
Is this? Yep, that's right. But number one goalie, in theory, right? Bernier, say well, Riley and Gardner.
Not when you're playing the Senators. Reimer's got to be the go-to guy when you play the Senators, honestly.
Yeah. But, you know,
he's 80-0.
Close to
it. Or it feels like it.
With 1,000 save percentage. Down in Toronto, it was Bozak, Parenteau, Gardner and Riley. They had Nylander played there. So
we had the better lineup here.
I don't know, man.
Okay.
Because neither of them worked great, right? When you're a bad team and now you water it down to two.
Well, we had Johnny Schleprock and Zach Stortini playing down there in Toronto.
Right.
Wow.
We had some of that, anyway, sent up to Ottawa as well, but... Yeah, I think historically, when you're going to do that, you keep your better lineup at home. And we certainly, Turris and Ryan and McCulloch and
Carlson. Yeah, no, you had some top-end guys here.
Carlson was flying. He looked mid-season form.
And what did you think of Tomas Chabot?
I was coming home, I was writing down some notes. And the only thing that I really took away from him, from the bit that I saw, was he looked pretty good, but he looked tentative. Like, he had more to... Now, that's probably
nerves. Dude's 18, and he's playing with Carlson.
I got that right here, man. I'm not trying to be unfair, right? He was clearly just a little nervous. Or where do I go when this guy takes off the way he does?
Well, and you know what? I don't think moving forward, they play... And now, easy now, but they play a similar style of game, right? In terms of Chabot wants to skate his way to problems.
Right.
He's going to run a power play. Right, and they were saying last night there was multiple opportunities where he could have shot, but he defers obviously to the two-time.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, for sure it is.
When nervous rookie, I'm giving it to that guy.
Yeah, and so Carlson has a goal, and then I think better than the goal was the setup the one right down
for Prince.
Yeah,
yeah, the cross. Yeah, it was solid, and I got notes here on that too. Was Prince to me on that play looked every bit the finisher. Right, like he hammered that home with confidence, right? And I guess when you're skating in with Carlson, you know to be ready and whatever. But he finished that play hard, right? And he looked like, and I don't know if he's going to get a shot because he's his contract status and whatever.
Well, what they're saying was, so today, and unlike in other years, even with the vast number, they only cut three guys, which puts him down to 58 or whatever it is in camp.
Yeah, ridiculous.
They split into
two
a pro camp.
Yeah.
And an AHL camp, essentially. So you had five forward lines, and you had four sets of D pairings and the two goalies.
Right.
In the AHL camp. And so, essentially, that extra line was Pumple, Prince, and Colin Greening. That is your extra line, right?
I think, yeah. It'll be contract related if Greening's got that spot. He's going to need a camp.
But that, you're really talking about... That is your 13th forward, whoever that is, right?
Yep.
And so...
But you don't want that to be Pumple or Prince.
No.
You got to play.
And that's what I'm saying is honestly, you need one of those guys playing further up.
Right.
Right? And now they're locked up in terms of... We went through the lineups, and the lines that I gave you the other night, top three were the same.
Right.
Well, they were all the same, actually. The top four lines were identical to what I gave you.
Right.
Right? And so... It's going to come down to where do you put one of those guys? And listening to everybody talk, it seems like if you have one of that line five guys, despite the fact that Pumple played fairly well in that last 30 games, right? Yep. They're saying Prince is looking like the guy, you know? They ran the 3-on-3 today for 10 minutes. The only guy to score a goal was Prince.
I'm glad you brought that up. And I did hear that today, too. They went, the game here in Ottawa was tied last night. So they did 3-on-3. I've seen it a bit at the rookie tournament a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And at one point, I don't even remember the opponent, but the Leafs played maybe two and a half minutes of 3-on-3 just based on a penalty gong show in overtime, right? It's crap.
Well, and you know what? I like it. Okay, so before you get...
Yeah.
Before you stretch out, I was at FanFest, SensFest on the past weekend, and they ran a camp there. I mean, a session of 3-on-3, and I like it. I like it due to the sheer volume of ice and the skill you get to see on display. However, at times to me, it looked like the most aggravating portion of a 5-on-3. You know, when your team's on a 5-on-3 and they're holding the puck, yep, and they're waiting for the best opportunity and they're circling away from the... And it turns out that you have so much time, you do nothing with it, yep, right? There seems to be an element of that, as opposed to what I'm hoping for is end-to-end chances off your mistakes, right? I didn't see a pile of that.
Right. So that was part of my argument against... Also, I've seen a lot and you know, even read some other people saying, but my first impression anyway of it from the rookie tournament and from that other occasion I saw it was that it got bogged down on the boards a lot. If it ever went into the corner, I go in, an opposing D comes in with me, we're going to battle for it, and nobody else is going to
fight.
Two guys... One guy's teammate's going to be on one side and the other's on the other, hoping it squeaks loose. And the other two are staying out high so that I can either get a chance and take off, or, and, you know, if you're in the O zone, you get it and you get a chance, right? And it just kind of gets stuck there because there's no play to make. There's no options. And no one really wants to commit to anything. So in that regard, I found it a little frustrating. More on a principle thing. They've gotten rid of the shootout. Well, they haven't gotten rid of the shootout. It'd come after three-on-three.
We'll see much less of it.
The statement's always been it's a gimmick and it's happening too much. This, to me, is another gimmick. And people will say, and you've said in the past, well, it's closer to hockey. Yeah, okay, it's closer to hockey.
It's a gimmick that includes more guys.
Right, but it's still a gimmick. So,
okay, go back to the old days when you just went with, hey, you both get a sister kisser.
Yeah.
One point.
I'd be much happier with that than this.
How about 3 points for a win, 1 point
yeah,
for a tie?
Yeah, I'd be happy with that too.
Okay.
It just...
Conversation over, because I agree.
Yeah, to me, there's just nothing to it. And the only thing that I sided with in terms of going to this is the better team, in theory, should win more often, which isn't the case in the shootout. It's a total coin flip. It's arbitrary, whatever happens in the shoot.
What's Jussi Jokinen doing?
Right.
Where's he at?
There's no evidence to suggest the better teams always won the shootouts, right?
No, just for sure. Not even the better goalies.
Right. And so this, to me, is going to be the same because it just, well, that guy fell, so we have a 3-on-2 or this. Like, that's going to happen a lot because any NHL team has enough guys that can eventually finish what, in theory, should appear all the odd man rushes, right?
Right. And you know
what? It's just going to be arbitrary. That's my only... Either keep doing the shootout like you were doing and have it be arbitrary, or have five guys play so it's the sport and the better team should win. You haven't corrected anything.
I think I like it better 3-on-3.
Okay.
No, and now I'd be totally happy, and I would probably prefer the option of 3 for a regulation win, one for a tie, no overtime.
Right.
Don't even do it.
Two for an overtime win. Like there's a different system that someone else presented to me. 4 points for a regulation win, 3 points for an overtime win, 2 points for a shootout win, 1 point for an overtime loss, no points for shootout loss. Like if you're throwing the stat book out anyway.
Yikes.
No, it's a lot, but now you're actually...
Where's my abacus?
There's still something that says you should push here in overtime because that's worth more than the shootout win, right?
And the box score would be like 8 feet long.
Well, for sure, but...
What are all these categories for?
But rather than just skate for the shootout, now that's going to be worth one less point.
I think you should break off into a carnival-like thing and have hardest shot over there.
Isn't that what we're doing anyway?
Yeah, fights over there. Fastest skater. We're going to clear it out. Everyone's going to get down to their jockstrap, slapshot style.
Let me zoom in on the Leafs here for a second, because we've done a bit on the
set. Well, and that's what we do.
You emailed me yesterday with, what the fuck's Lou doing? Lamorello's been brought in.
Yeah, Lou. Hey, you kids, get off my lawn. Hey, old timer.
So he's brought a couple of his New Jersey rules with him, one being no facial hair. No. It always reminds me of that episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns brings in all the ringers to play on the softball team.
Of course.
Get rid of those damn sideburns.
Baseball. Mattingly.
Mr. Burns, I don't think you know what sideburns are. That's it. You're off the team. Yes. And the other one was the TV and radio broadcasters.
How did Steve Sachs ever make it on that team? Honestly.
You got a big mouth, sexy boy.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. So it's, the other one was, the broadcasters are no longer allowed on the.
Insane.
On the flight.
I don't get that at all.
That one makes more sense to me than the facial hair thing. Just in that if you plan to have these big team meetings on your flight, which I don't think you do, but you're free now to say whatever you want because it's just your. I still think it's unnecessary, but I can wrap my head around that before the idea that a mustache is going to cost you a game.
Joe Bowen. Sorry, Joe.
Yeah. Love Joe.
With the flight, last flight, there is no more local. You got to leave in the morning. I don't get it.
No longer getting that team meal on the plane, right?
I know Joe Bowen loves a post-game meal.
There's a possibility Joe Bowen's coming on this podcast, so just settle down there.
I don't, you know what? As long as he doesn't say holy Mackinac, don't say that, Joe.
I found yesterday before going out to the game, I should have been more prepared.
Can you bring on Dave Shriver if you're going to bring on?
They have their, no, that guy's a joke.
Really? You're talking about a Hall of Famer.
What Hall of Fame?
The Voice.
What Hall of Fame?
Any Hall of Fame.
Yeah, okay.
Canadian Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
Doubt it.
Okay.
Maybe the Manitic Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
The Reno Osgood Hall of Fame.
There's an app out that Joe Bowen's put out where it's just him reciting his catchphrases. And
I'll have chicken.
Settle down on. We're carrying on. Do you see any point to this? The Yankees have had the facial hair thing. Like,
do they still?
I'm trying to think.
Now. Or that pass with Steinbrenner.
Remember Sabathia cut off all that ridiculous
fat?
Hair he
no, oh no
that's still kicking around yeah, that's he's just, out there pitching in his PJ pants
in his bell bottom baseball pants
but it's supposed to we're a team and we're professionals and does it hold any weight for you or
none you're talking to two guys in this podcast with beards forget about it
I just someone out there must have thought it was a the Yankees were doing it, still doing it, I guess. He was doing it in New Jersey. He's bringing it here.
Yeah, and you know what? To me, that's...
The old Dodger.
Yeah, that's honestly, that's what it is. Yeah. The artful Dodger? Like, honestly, what are you, 100, Lou?
Ray Ferraro on the broadcast said something. I PVR'd the game. And so
Ferraro?
Ferraro?
Ferraro Rocher. Ray Ferraro.
Well, we'll try and get Ray on to clarify that.
Yeah, no problems. He's going to bring his wife.
Okay, that probably didn't help.
Just kidding, Ray. You're a solid take.
For sure. Except I'm about to disagree horribly with something he said last night, which was there's probably no roster in the league more in flux than Toronto's right now.
All right. And you think he's just leaning on that as a sort of...
We got a couple more games to sell here?
And sort of as a commonly accepted thing, right? Oh, the Leafs are going to suck, right? Like you and I...
Okay.
You and I had a debate and him saying that lineup is open. I think those guys on the PTOs, honestly, and Mark Fraser, I'm telling you, Mark...
Setoguchi was bad last night. Like, okay. He's never involved. But I think Boyce has probably got a shot, right? Brad
Glenn
Boyce.
Glenn Cross?
Yeah, maybe those two, right? Fraser, the Leafs traded like 17 guys for Michael Grabner last week, so there's probably a room for Mark Fraser on the Marlies now, right? Like
we're sending a bus of guys for Grabner.
Can you put Grabner on it and send it back?
Yeah, exactly, with gas. That's all I ask. Can you fill it up on your end and send the bus back?
So Fraser's probably going to make it on a Marlies contract now. There's some space for that. He's not going to see anywhere close to the NHL roster.
But he just did on a better Leaf team, not like 2 years ago, didn't he?
3 years ago, but yeah.
Okay.
Like that playoff team.
It was a better team, and he was on it.
But we had no kids at that point, right? He was paired with Koska at one point. Right?
Who's now in Sens camp.
Yeah. Which camp did he go to today? NHL or AHL?
He made the NHL camp.
Okay.
But he was on, and not to swing this back to our Sens bias.
Not our Sens bias.
He was on the fourth D pairing with Jared Cowan. Apparently people not happy with Jared.
I didn't notice him. Was he
apparently
in Ottawa or Toronto?
Yeah, he was in Toronto. He was in Ottawa last night, apparently he was noticeable, not in a good way.
Okay. So to me, this terrible team that they're tearing down, they've really traded one guy from it since the season ended and have brought everyone else back. There's only so many spots.
And it was stellar at the end of the season.
And you're not able to send down.
Let's take away our best player. And bring the rest back.
Right. That's how we're going to rebuild.
Get rid of
our most talented guy and then keep everyone else.
Yeah, that guy's fat and dirty.
All right.
But he scores. And if you're going to have one trick, that's the one to have. Let's get rid of that guy.
Like, you can't send down Lupul or Komarov or Holland. And I'm not saying those guys specifically are the problem. Bozak, Kadri, all these guys. You don't have as many spots as you would think. You've got 70 guys in camp, which makes it look like there's a lot going on. But those two PTO guys I mentioned, Boys and Glenn Cross, I think have a shot. And otherwise, I think most of the kids, the only two kids with even a shot would have been Nylander and Marner, and they just don't want to do that, right? They want to send them back, which they should.
And where's Nylander going to play this year?
He'll play for the Marlies.
Right.
Okay. He came over after the Swedish season last year.
Right, okay, so he's not going back to Sweden.
No.
Because I think at this point he gains nothing from that.
Right. No, they want him here now. And apparently he had a whale of a game yesterday playing in Toronto, so I didn't get a good look at it. But I don't know. I don't think there's nearly as much flux as people think. Even on defense, Riley and Gardner are in, Pulock and Phaneuf are in, and now you're looking at Matt Hunwick, right?
Okay, so two games into the preseason.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with performance.
Right? And you know what? Two games in, and here in town, now there hasn't been too much arm waving and gesturing, right? You know, with what we deem to have the superior team.
Right.
Right? And have to lose both ends of the doubleheader, which is sort of...
I mean, that's fun for us, but sucks. It's not much to...
And whereas you hear people going, well, it's preseason. Yep. Yeah, but if we won both games of the exhibition, we're going to say, the Leafs really suck. Really suck. Oh. Yeah, we lose, so it's just preseason. Who gives a shit?
That's probably... sports fan's nature, right?
Right, right.
And, doesn't mean
and,
anything.
And really none of it means anything, right? But you still sort of go, well...
Yeah, sure. I bet you 75-80% of the roster looks the same as it did on closing night last year.
Yeah, okay, and that's obviously more than that in Ottawa, right?
Yeah.
You're looking at one forward spot likely and one D spot,
right?
The rest. And really, you know what, you're filling that... On the defensive end, there's no way Weidman is not starting the season in the NHL, right?
Right.
They've asked him to do a bunch of things, stay in the minors, All he's done is win the AHL Defenseman of the Year.
Yeah, at some point, you got to get a shot.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And honestly, they were few and far between from last year.
Yeah.
The guy just put in his time.
Coming for you, Cowan.
Well, yeah, well, or not. Or I'm just stepping aside. I'm going to give you that spot.
That's Talk and Sports for another week.
See ya!
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.